of the Lord. Amen. A few announcements. We have some special services coming up. Tupelo Children's Mansion will be in service. Brother and Sister Judd, we have enjoyed their ministries through the years, and they will be here June 13th and sharing their hearts with us about the mission of Tupelo Children's Mansion. Several of you have tied yourself into that ministry through the years, and it has been a great ministry. I have my memories of Tupelo Children's Mansion. Also on June the 16th, on Wednesday, Brother Brad and Sister Jenna Davis will be in service with us. So looking forward to that. And God's so good. Mother's Memorial Offering, $100 club membership, $50 club membership is due July the 18th. And for that I know of, the second time, but probably for many times, Branson trip will be announced. Got to get that going. So if you're planning on going, get your name on the bulletin board and find out information concerning that. Well, God's good. There's never a time that God is not good. I was glad just the other day that some of the thinking that was taking place, and I do like to meditate quite a bit, but with some of the thinking, just the aspect of knowledge that there is not a degree of difficulty that your trial arises to that God says, all right, I can't handle that. How many has ever said, can it get any worse than this? And it end up getting worse. Thanks be unto the Lord. He has no record of saying, you know what? It's pretty bad. If it gets any worse, then I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. There's no degree of difficulty that Jesus Christ cannot still work and handle. No what measure it is. That's a strength to our faith, amen, and understanding. Why don't we stand all over the house as we enter into worship? Why don't we just pray, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come into this place. Thank you, Lamb of God, for the opportunity to abide in you and you in us. We come tonight, Lord, with a heart, Jesus, that is full because of your goodness and mercy. And as your word says, your goodness has led us unto repentance, Lord. It's only by your goodness. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Children, may his favor be upon you.
Noah Denton, Patty Summerlot, Carol Dean, Joanne Fryer, Chris Anders, Brother and Sister Bob and Jesse Bolton, Billy and Jeremy Trinata. Brother and Sister Griff, it's good to see you here, but let's continue to pray God's strength. Brother John and Sister Vicki Proctor, Brother and Sister Christo, to remember Brother and Sister R.C. Clark, Ramona Santo as well, Brittany Wise that attended our church for several years, and her grandmother passed away this morning. Let's remember her, that God would strengthen and touch her. Sue Brooks, Brother Benny Brown's sister, has acute leukemia. Let's pray that God would strengthen and touch her. Kay Brown has cancer, needs our prayers. Sister Dot Lipscomb's dad isn't doing well. She was with him, and so let's remember that need as well. Let's remember the remaining portion of camp meeting. God would strengthen and touch and bless our ministry team that is there as well, gaining strength from the Lord. Amen. If you have a need in your body, don't hesitate to come to the front and pray in the prayer of faith. God's able. He's not just willing, He's able. And I believe the principle of persistency as well. There's a process to some things. And sometimes God chooses to teach us during our processing of needing a miracle. And we learn some things about the Lord. And that is the priority. But God's still able to do a work. Amen. Sister Nell, let's remember Brother Jimbo. Amen. That God would strengthen and touch him. Praise the Lord. Let's look unto the Lord. Lord, you're able. There's no question in my mind, God. You are able to do the miraculous. You are a supernatural God. You do not operate in the natural, Lord.
Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy, it calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awake in my place and pour out a song from my heart. You
Your kindness is forever. Your mercy.
ushers, would you come? Why don't you look around, smile? Old song says in Sunday school, smile a while and give your face a rest. Smile's never done anybody a bad thing, amen? Praise God. Lord, bless this offering in Jesus' name. And go forth and strengthen those that need it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Higher than the mountains that I face.
Tell you, it amazes me how the Lord can have so many personal relationships. It's like I have him all by myself. Is that not a... When you get into the element that this Jesus Christ that we have and a personal relationship that we have, Brother Ronnie, it feels like I just have him by myself and nobody else has him. And I can only equate it to this, that it's just as the miracle of the birth of Jesus took place, where 100% God, 100% man, we call it the incarnation of the miracle that Jesus came into the world. And he was both at the same time. He was not less of a man on this side, and he was not less of a God on this side. He was 100% man, 100% God, all at the same time. And it's the miracle of the incarnation that we celebrate every December. And in that same element, I equate it to almost that I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ one-on-one. And that gives me hope. Because I know what I tell him, he's not taking it anywhere. It's just me and him. And so I endeavor tonight, as a pursuit of this Bible study, I thank the Lord he woke me up at 3. And I just did it the old-fashioned way, pen and paper. My computer wasn't working, so there I went to write. And my alarm clock will go off at the same time tomorrow, so believe me, I won't be lengthy. But I do want to be very much of a at point. So if you have the word of the Lord and you would like to turn to the book of Romans, amen. The book of Romans. The church of Rome that Paul was writing these 16 wonderful chapters in this letter. But I want to extract one statement and just, I guess, go from there in that element or that point. That he took one statement from Genesis 15 and 6, and he spent an entire chapter on that one statement of Genesis 15 and 6. Now, I would believe that Paul would thought it was very important for him to spend an entire chapter on this to the Church of Rome on one statement. I would deem it of an importance. And the statement could be found in Romans, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. And when he asked this in his letter, I love how he sets it up. What does the Scripture say? Well, we can just stop right there and use that as a point for life. I remember leveling some ground with Brother Jerry when I was a kid, teenager. But I never leveled ground, and I never saw a string level or anything. But I remember it to this day because there had to be a point, a reference point that he wanted the rest of the ground to be built up to. And so he put a stake in, and he drew a string out, and then he put a leveler on that string and made sure that that was where he wanted. You remember that, Brother Jerry? And it's still there if you'll go out to the campgrounds. But I remember that there was a stake that was set. And I believe that even that question alone needs to be something of a point in our life. What does the Bible say? And so he asked it, what does the Bible say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. From that point on, he begins to talk this entire chapter on this one statement. Now, if I were to ask you, why do you want to go to heaven, what would your response be? What would the first response be? Several of them. Brother Matt, what would your first response be? Why do you want to go to heaven? That's a good answer. If your answer, the reason why you want to go to heaven, so you didn't have to go to hell, you've probably got a little bit of an incorrect relationship with the Lord. And so when we construct our relationship with God, and when we understand our relationship with God, we have to know in our relationship there's some things that we obtain and there's other things that we attain. There's some things that that is just given to us and other things that we're pursuing. I liked it how the man said it. He said, you are what you are making an effort to become. So he broke it down this way. You are saved by God's grace, but you're still pursuing salvation in Jesus Christ. You're still pursuing Him. You're still pursuing that relationship. And when Paul was writing these words, he wanted to make sure that he understood, that they understood. And so some of the thoughts this morning as I began to jot things down, I want a desire to see the face of Jesus Christ. I want a desire to see Him. If He told me that heaven wasn't going to be any better than this world, but that I got to spend it with Him, then He could still sign me up. I don't want to go to heaven because of all this stuff here on earth. That's just a caveat, as they would say. That's just a good thing that His love is going to be poured out and He's doing all this for us. But let me see my Savior. Let me see Jesus. I preached a message several years ago now that we would see Jesus It's the pursuit of those people in the gospel that if I could get to him, that's my life's pursuit. If I could get to him, if I could see him. And so faith that in the book of Romans that he speaks of in the fourth chapter, I want to make sure I make these statements as God was given to me. Faith is not a work of man that God rewards, but yet it's a gift of God's grace. The 16th verse says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. I can't do anything to earn nothing. If I do anything and I accomplish anything, it's still by God's grace that he gives me a reward. You know, in your relationships, sometimes you do things just so you can maybe get something back. Anybody? Well, maybe if I do this, they'll return the favor. That's not how you base your relationship on the Lord. That's not how that relationship is constructed. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In the book of James, he is who he is, and he will do what he says he's going to do. And us as his people, and he is our God. Jesus Christ gives unto us liberally, but it's by the grace of God. I can't do anything to earn nothing in this program. But God's grace that we give anything. So we obtain some things, or we obtain some things from the Lord, and yet we are attaining unto others. But when it comes to salvation, there's nothing that you can do to attain salvation. You obtain it. Now those are similarity words. But when he gives you his name, this morning as I was sitting there and I was thinking, and I found myself just thinking, processing myself at the foot of the cross, and I had in my hands all of my failures, and I reach up and I'm giving my sins unto him. And the Bible says our sins is what nailed him to the cross. The transfer is this, is I'm not just giving my sins to him, but he in return has got his hand out unto me and says, you take my righteousness. Whew. You take my name. You take my righteousness. It's not by my own righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. And to the degree, Brother Lynn, that when we get to see Jesus face to face, do you know what he's going to see? He's going to see his righteousness. He's going to see his name. He's going to see his blood. He's going to see his work. That was the great exchange. There's nothing that can compare to that. Nothing. And so, as Paul was trying to supply this word, that it is obtained by what? By faith. It's obtained by faith. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh by, and hearing by the word of God. It's obtained by faith, a mere belief and a faith and a receiving that I can receive what he has for me. And I obtain it. I can't work for it. I love the fact I cannot work for anything of salvation. And when I saw that in my own life and I looked unto it, it made me want to pursue the Lord even more. It made me want to please him even more. Let me just stop here and say this. I'm going to be very, very careful, but very, very, just as I thought it the first time. Several months ago. Obviously, we know, and I'm not going to beat around the bush, and you know, if you don't sit down with me, it's just is what it is, and I'm not harsh, but it's black and white.
because that's the only way I can deal with things, okay? So in our country, we all know that we're not in a good place in some areas of our society and country. In fact, I think we've gone backwards from the place when even I was a little boy. One of the most famous speeches in our country, in our nation's history, one of the most famous speeches was called, I Have a Dream. And a few months ago, as I was rehearsing that speech in my mind, for every race and every creed of every walk and every person, I wish that that wouldn't have been titled, I Have a Dream. I wished it would have been entitled, The Content of Character. Because if we would have focused as a people on the content of our character, the dream would have been realized a long time ago. We put the emphasis on the dream and stepped aside the character measure. Does that make sense? I wish we would have highlighted the character point. The character point would have obtained the dream. So when I looked at that and I was sitting there, I'm like, the content of character. Every one of us need it. I got mine challenged Sunday night. I was sitting in Brahms line. It was long. Patience was being developed. I was at the window. I didn't move for, I don't like to exaggerate, 6, 7, 8 minutes, didn't move. You know, that's a long time when you're sitting there. So finally, two cars ahead of me pulls forward. They just pull forward one length, but I can't see it's just one length because the wall blocks, right? The sign and everything. Well, I gave it a few seconds, and I kindly tapped my horn. As my wife is begging me, don't do it. Don't do it. I didn't do it for me. And I really wasn't having an issue with patience at that moment. I thought the car behind me was going to honk because they wanted to order. I'd already made my order of one drink. Large Diet Dr. Pepper for my wife. So the car behind me, I'm thinking they're going to want to order. So about 20 seconds is nothing. 30 seconds, nothing. So I tapped the horn. I received an onslaught of not only four-letter words, but seven-letter words, combinations that I didn't know existed. And my wife is begging me, no, no, no. My content of my character was right at work. And I didn't say anything to her. And I didn't want to make a scene. I did say, ma'am, they moved forward, done it. And then it went again. I said, all right. I didn't say a word. But I thought, you know what? You know what would really get them? Is if I could get up there somehow and pay for their meal. Boy, that really would do it, wouldn't it? Does the Bible teach that? What does it say? It says it's like pouring hot coals of fire upon somebody's head when you return righteousness, God's righteousness for evilness. That's the book of Romans. But I didn't get out of the car. I just sat still. I thought somebody would jump me if I'd have got out of the car. But God has a way of supplying those real life situations and allow us to see where we're at in Him. And sometimes we fail and sometimes we succeed. But when we fail, His mercy is there. He doesn't break relationship with us. He doesn't even pull His salvation from us. He gives us grace and mercy to supply into us continually until we can get it right. And when I have knowledge and understanding of that, I believe that if we can get our relationship right with Him and we know and understand where we are at with Him, who we are and who He really is, the relationship of, I'm telling you, you can't tell me is if you have 100 healthy relationships with Jesus Christ going on, you're going to have all the move of God you want. Yes or no? Let's put it right down there. God's not necessary. I'm telling you, I think if we could say, Lord, if I could get, my relationship with you to be as strong as it's ever been, I promise you, God will take care of everything else. If the character would have been highlighted instead of the dream highlighted, I don't downgrade the dream, but it was the character that was the road to the dream. The relationship is the road to a revival that we haven't seen. The relationship is the road to the prayer meeting we haven't seen, to the evangelism that we haven't seen. And I'm talking about in day-to-day life. Relationship is what we see. When we say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm telling you, the relationship with Jesus Christ, as it grows and grows and grows, and he imputes into us righteousness. Read Romans, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read really quick. See all that blue? That's just me scribbling. So I'm going to try to pursue it. See all that black? That's me scribbling over here. So, in this 4th chapter of Romans, he says this, as David also described the blessed man in verse 6, imputeth righteousness. Imputeth is a financial term. He credited. Verse 10, how was it then reckoned? When he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not the circumcision, but the uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness unto faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Let me just break this down. And I'm telling you, when I got a hold of this, I saw, God, what can you do? Abraham's faith was counted righteousness unto him at 75 years of age. He blessed Abraham. When was the sign and the seal of that relationship and covenant made? Of circumcision. It was 24 years later at the age of 99. The only reason why our baptism is any good, it's because of faith. You can dunk people all day long, but if faith is not there, it doesn't mean anything. The only reason why we can entertain the Spirit of God is because of faith. It's because I have knowledge that he gave me his name and his blood and his righteousness and his holiness. I don't have holiness. I only have what he has given me, and I walk therein. I can't work for it. I can't do any of that. He has to give it to us. And we exchange my filth and my garbage and all of my stupidity and all of my loud mouth and all of my temper and all of my smart aleck comments and all of my bad moods and all of my irritability, right? God can't bless a Christian walking around irritable all the time. I know we have moments. God can't bless that. I exchange all that stupidity and craziness for his love and his grace and his mercy and his righteousness and his holiness and his name. So when I stand before him, I'm telling you right now, if you fear standing before Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but I don't look at him as my principal. I look at him as my Savior and my God, my Lord and my King. I can't wait to see him. I don't want to go before the throne of God just walking on eggshells. Let me tell you this. Have anybody ever had a relationship where you had to walk on eggshells? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? When you got to tippy-toe around conversations, make sure their feelings aren't hurt, make sure they don't know something. Don't talk about that when we're around them. Right? Anybody? Is that a healthy relationship? I don't want to go before the Lord on that great getting up morning. I don't want to go before him in my judgment. And I'm walking on eggshells, tippy-toeing. I hope he finds me okay. I want to rush into his presence. I want to bow before him and say, Lord, I'm here only because of you anyway. You wanted to see me too. Woo! He wants to see you, brother. You think you want to see him? He wants to see Matt Ashton. He's getting excited when he says, Lynn English is going to show up on such and such day. That's a relationship. my wife and mother-in-law and my daughter and some other family members, they went on a trip here recently and to the beach. It was a graduation deal. Had a lot of fun. But I am so, they left. My wife had worked all day. We went to a graduation Friday night. And then all of them got into the vehicle and left Paris at 10 o'clock, scheduled for an arrival time at 10 the next morning. They were driving all night. Well, as a man and as a husband, that's hard to let go and say, all right. And you're acting like you're all right and you're okay, you know. So I'm trying to weave my little concerns in there just hey, listen, it may not be a bad idea when you're traveling through areas on I-40 and those desolate places. Catch what county and city you're in just in case you need to call the sheriff. You know, I'm trying to give a little information. We're driving all night. Well, not me. So my wife starts. She ended up driving the whole trip. This is what I liked about it, though. We have a program called Live 360s. Anybody know what that is? Anybody? Live 360 is one of the greatest things this internet age ever invented. My daughter's smiling. At any point in time, I can look it on my phone. I'll see where my family members are, my wife and my three kids. I'll see how fast they're driving. See right where they are. Well, guess what I did until about 3 o'clock that night? I watched my phone about 100 times. They're still moving. That means they're still going. They're not off on the ditch somewhere. And I watched them. I slept 45 minutes that night. And I watched them all the way to Florida. Because that's what you do when you're in a relationship. Now, I don't do it all the time. Sometimes I say a prayer and go to bed. If I feel like they're all right. But in the sense of that, I had some concerns. But I didn't want to deny them that trip. So I watched. And I thought, Lord, that's you. You're not bothering us every step of the way. Every now and then I would call and check on you. You doing okay? Yeah, we're doing okay. All right. Lord, that's you. Watching every step of the way. Watching where we're going. He's got his eyes on us. As we're maneuvering through life, checking in on us a little bit. You sure you're okay? Do you need anything? The Lord had that eyes view. As I was sitting there looking at my phone, watching my wife travel and family travel all the way there. God has that. And you know, when they returned, I did the same thing. And the point of it, when they came home, I couldn't wait to see them. That's a relationship. Jesus Christ can't wait to see you. I think we need to thank him just for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we understand that it's just not us getting excited to see you, but there's a relationship that I have with you that you're excited to see me. This sinner that I am, but you have deemed me holy and righteous because of you and your work on the cross. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I'm going to move quickly. It's 7:41. I'll have us out by 8. I started at 7:18, so I have a clock, okay? Romans, or the book of Psalms 139 in verse 6 says this, such knowledge is unattainable for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter says, I tried to be wise, but it's too far from me. Who can attain it? Romans, the 9th chapter and the 30th verse. Romans 9 and 30 says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness? The Gentiles who are not following after righteousness have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, the people of God, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained it to the law. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Now I want to stop us right there. The people of God was trying to attain righteousness. How? Through his word, but not mixed with faith. So the Lord checked me right there. Can I have his word and I am not attaining anything. The children of Israel did. They had his word, but they weren't attaining because their relationship was not based on faith. Faith in who he is. Ask you, let's just stop and let's analyze some things. I like to stop and I like to examine myself. Just Bible teaches us to examine ourselves, so I do a lot of examining. What's the last thing that the Lord told you? Is there water somewhere maybe? Anybody? My throat. So what's the last thing the Lord's told you? I asked this after my question to me. All right, let's stop. What's the last song you sung? Anybody? What's the last song you heard on the radio? One today? Quickly, here's my point. Thank you. I find it odd, and I had a little rebuke. Now, the word of the Lord has four purposes. Timothy, the book of Timothy, right? The word of the Lord has four purposes: rebuke, exhort, instruction. What's the fourth one? Prove, yes. Four things. That's the word of the Lord. So I got my piece of the word of the Lord right there. Because the Lord impressed on my heart. If you can remember Saul, the last song or the last few songs you sung, even if it is a Christian song, or even maybe the last scripture that you even read, but it didn't necessarily do anything. But you can't remember the last thing that I spoke to you personally. Then I want to sort of move things around in my relationship and start talking to you a little bit more. Does that make sense? So I asked myself that. What's the last thing he told me? Well, it took me a little bit, but I about 2 or 3 minutes. But I finalized it. I knew what the last thing he told me. And some of you may have saw it on Facebook. It was just the other day. Can a good trait that you have be a bad thing? And he showed me myself. And he showed me in the story of Mary and Martha. And that wasn't a message that I was preparing to preach somewhere. And I don't know if I'll ever preach it. He just told me that for me. Hey, just because you got some good traits doesn't mean they're always good for you. You need to make sure that you've got those in aligned appropriately in your life and use them correctly. Does that make sense? But if the Lord is not speaking to our thoughts and touching our heart on a consistent measure, then God, I want to move some things around in my relationship with you. And if that means me learning how to shut off even Christian music or even even some things that deem Christian, and I can meditate and you can give me some thoughts, then do it. The Lord speaks to people in certainly different manners. But find the way that the Lord speaks to you and hear from him for your own life. If that word is not jumping off the page and it's just the word and you're reading it as a yearly program, that's what the people of God in the Old Testament did, and they missed it. I'm telling you, when we walk by faith, it's not because we're worthy of it. It's not because we've done something great. I don't receive anything because I've done more things good. I still receive anything. It comes from him because of his goodness. The Bible says it's even his goodness that even leads us to repentance. He was good to us before we even said, God, forgive me of my sins. Whew. I'm telling you, folks, if you don't get energized about a relationship with Jesus more than anything else, then something is missing. We've become traditional. We've just become, we're walking something, doing something. God, I am in love with you. Let me just say it this way. I don't mind speaking up on certain things concerning the word of the Lord. Now, I don't go lambast, but I make sure I'm not perfect either. I've lost my temper in front of people. I've had to go back and ask them to forgive me. But I don't just lambast everything. But let me tell you something. When I'm with a man, and that man refers to my wife as my old lady,
I have a problem with it. Mama, I've never even called you that. I never called Ma that, nor Granny. Sister Nell, I've never even called you. But how many of you guys have heard it in the workplace and in the factories and everything else? My old lady. Well, I'm sorry. Hey, you may have one. I don't. Nowhere in my life. That's not a term of honor. Now, I may not say things all the time, but hey, if they keep saying it, I'm going to speak up. That's my wife. Introduction of me walking up to them. That was not hello, how are you? Hey, I'm not building my relationship on that stuff. But when it comes to my God, I'm not building it up on terms of just religion or tradition. He's mine and I am His. Whew. I'm telling you, I still cannot get over the fact that I got to kneel at a cross, lift my sins to Him, and He put His hands out and gave me His righteousness and holiness and His name and His authority and His kingdom and His government. He gave it to me. I can't ever do anything to deserve it. I can't get over it. The Word of God did not lead them to Jesus. I got 10 minutes. I'm through half a page. Okay. The Word of God did not lead the people of God to Jesus. That's shocking. Shocking. How in the world can the... How does that happen? It happens and it's still happening. And if I'm not careful, it can happen to me. The Word of God. That doesn't mean we need less of it. That means we need to have more faith in it. We do not attain salvation nor righteousness. We obtain it. We've been given it. Proverbs 28:13, he that covers his transgressions shall not prosper. That's the Word of God. So what is that going to do? Is it going to affect us? Is by faith I'm going to receive it and it's going to work in my behalf? Or am I dismissing it and the Word of God's not changing me? He that covers his transgressions shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. A relationship that is built on obtaining from God, not because of what good things we ever do, just because we come to Him and say, I'm pathetic and forgive me. I'm telling you, God loves us. How many's in love with Jesus Christ? He loves you more than you love Him. So get a hold of that one. All right, quickly. Matthew 5 and 7. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall do what? Obtain mercy. They didn't attain it. It's not because blessed are the merciful, they shall attain mercy. I'm not given mercy so I can attain unto mercy. I'm given mercy so I can reach out my hands and receive mercy. Acts 8 and 20, Peter said, your money will perish with you because you thought you could obtain God's free gift. So in this pursuit of Him, where does attaining fit in correctly? Philippians, the third chapter. Real quick, Philippians 3. Let me say this again. Everything that we desire in the Lord And everything that we want to be and desire to be and have for ourselves and our family concerning God, and even have for this church and even have for this community, is going to be built on a relationship. So what do we attain? Philippians 3, 12. Bible says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I do what? I follow after. Watch this, that word, I'm going to come back and get to it. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. So you remember when I referred to you are saved, but you're still in the process of being saved? You are what you are becoming? That's what Paul said. He said, that I may apprehend that for which also I am already apprehended of. Does that make sense? I am what I am becoming. It's hard to get your mind around it. That's why I had to equate it almost to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We already are what we are becoming. Why is that important? It's important because I have to know that I am His Son and He is my Father. I am a child of God and I have rights in His kingdom that belong to me because He's given them to me. And no matter where I am at in Him, I can have that, and I have authority to pray over the sick. I have authority to claim God's promises. It's not because I'm way down the line in my advancement of His kingdom. It's because of who I am. So this, I'm telling you, this stuff is vital for the importance of the growth of us as a people and a church. He said this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am what I am, but I'm still attaining. Bray, you are what you are, but you will always still attain to Jesus Christ. We're reading the story of Ruth in our family this week, nightly reading, and we're just having a good time enjoying it. But Ruth, a beautiful story. I'm not going to get into it. I don't have time. But Ruth is such a beautiful story. It's four chapters. If you haven't ever read it, get into it. But let me rush. Romans 1 and 17 says, for there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am counted as righteous by God at my current level, but that doesn't mean I am excused from moving to the next level. That was a 4 a.m. thought. It was right there at the end of the paper. Let me say it again. I am counted righteousness by God right here. Right here, I'm counted righteousness unto God. But that doesn't excuse me from moving to this position in Him. And in fact, it is instructed that I do so. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're right here, Brother Jim, come here. Thank you. You can help me too. Come on. If we are growing in God and we're moving in God and it's about time that He calls us home, stand right there. No, you can stand right here. Go sit down right quick. All right. He's counted righteous of God by God right where He's at. But He still needs to do what? I'm counted righteous by God right here, but I'm still instructed by the Lord to get to right here. He's counted the righteousness of God right here, but He's still encouraged to get up there. The Bible says from faith to faith. I don't stop at the current level that I'm at in my relationship with Him. I hope next year it's more intense than it is even this year. I hope I'm seeing more things in my relationship and the fruitfulness of it than I even had last year. But that didn't mean that God didn't count me righteous last year. I was righteous then. That's what the beautiful gift of salvation is. From faith to faith to faith. Now, you can be seated. Thank you. Watch this. Real quick, I'm ending with this. John, the 21st chapter. John 21. I love this story because it sounds like a story that would be written in my life. Anybody know this story? The last few days since Joanne, I kept singing, "He's still working on me." But that doesn't mean I'm not saved. That doesn't mean I'm not his. That doesn't mean he's casting me away. Now, I've read this story many a times. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. John, the 21st chapter. I like it because Peter is a scoundrel. When he says these words, when Peter says these words, verse 3, Simon Peter said unto the disciples, "I go a fishing." Now, how would you describe backsliding? What was Peter doing? Was he not returning to his previous state of life before Jesus Christ? He was. I don't know what y'all are doing, but I go fishing. See ya. Jesus walks up. Now remember, Jesus had already died, rose again. He's coming back down to earth for 40 days in his ministry. Now watch this. This is beautiful. He comes to him. They don't know it's Jesus Christ. He finally reveals himself to him, to them. He asks, "Can we eat?" This scripture gives us hope that we actually eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because Jesus Christ ate in his glorified state. There may be food at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know. But finally he reveals himself and he makes this word, this statement that is rehearsed in their ears a few years before. He said something, it was an echo. He said, "Why don't you cast your nets onto the other side?" Well, doesn't that sound familiar? He didn't sit there and try to get all into their business. He just made a statement of instruction that he previously gave them earlier in their life. Oh, the beauty of Jesus. So he makes this statement. They do the fish. They come in. They bring the fish. Jesus said, he rings the dinner bell. Come and dine. Has he yet? What has he done in his pursuit and in his relationship with his disciple, and in particular Peter in a moment? This is Jesus, handling it the Jesus way. He does the thing. He reminds them. He makes a familiar statement. They catch a bunch of fish. He didn't say, "I told you so." He didn't say, "You're going to get it. Where were you when I died? What'd y'all run off to? I don't know about you, but I would have had a problem with these guys. A serious issue." But this is how Jesus handles us. And he goes to Peter and he pulls Peter away in a personal one-on-one conversation. And he asks the question, "Do you love me?" Peter, we have a relationship. You love me? And out of frustration, Peter said, "Yes, I love you." Now we know, and if you've studied this, he didn't respond with the same measure of love that Jesus said. It was a filial love. It was a brotherly love. It was a love that me and Brother Matt would have between each other, brotherly love. That was the love that he was responding to Jesus. Jesus didn't have a filial love to Peter. He had an agape love, a love that didn't need anything back. It was the supreme love. But Peter was treating Jesus like, "I love you.
But hopefully my love for Jesus is a little bit greater than my love for you in that measure, in that way. But Peter said, that's all I can do. And Jesus asked him again, do you love me? You know I love you. In that same way. And finally, Jesus gets down to where he's at. And then on his measure of where he's at in life, Peter, if that's the only level that you can get to, then I will come down and I'll get on this level with you. It's beautiful. Watch this. You want revival? We're talking about something that was a very important. I know it's 8:03. Give me a few more minutes. I know it's very important. The reason why this conversation is so vital and this principle is so vital is because this had to happen before the introduction of the church in Acts 2. This had to be addressed. Before we see Acts 2 happen, this is what needs to be addressed. Brother Matt, come here and help me one more time. Get you on that top step. Jesus asking Peter. Jesus asking Peter. Do you love me?
Do you love me?
I love you, Lord. And it goes back and forth. And finally, Jesus said, all right, Peter, if you can't come up here, I'm going to get right here. Because eventually, I'm going to get you up to here. Jesus went down there to get Peter to where he needed to be. This is where the beautiful, thank you, this is where the beautiful part of it is. He didn't say words like this. Peter, if you only knew what was good for you. He didn't say words like this. Peter, you have no idea what I have planned for you 40 days from now. I'm expecting you to preach the introduction of the church at Pentecost. And if you only knew that, you would get yourself in gear. He didn't say that. That's what we would say. Right? He didn't say, hey, I told you you were going to do it anyway. You didn't believe me when I told you. So why are you feeling sorry for yourself? I don't feel sorry for myself because it's a waste of time and I can't hardly feel sorry for anybody else. I have to work on sympathy. God, give me sympathy for people. I really do. Now, some people I say that need it, I do it, and the Lord helps me with it. But he didn't say any of that stuff. I would have. What were you thinking? I want to address some things and get some things straight before I give you the keys to preach the gospel. He didn't say it. Watch what he said. They go back and forth. He says, feed my sheep, and they get some principles there. We're not going to do that. Peter in verse 21 says, Peter seeing John, doesn't say John, but it's the one that, the beloved. He said, Lord, what shall you do with this man? Or what shall happen to this man, basically? And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Verse 22, don't worry about it. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to you? Peter, don't worry about John's situation. I'm going to say to you what I said to you from the beginning, and that's these words. Follow thou me. When I saw that this morning, I said, Lord, when we fall and make a mistake, you're not threatening us with our position. He didn't even say, if you don't get yourself right, you're going to be kicked out like Judas did of these 12 disciples. It's 11 now, and it's going to be 10 if you don't get your act together. He didn't threaten him with his position. He didn't threaten him with his relationship. He didn't threaten him with even his salvation at that point. He didn't threaten him with anything. He's not looking to get us when we're here down even further. He's saying this, is if I've got to even come down to your level, I'm going to come down to your level and I'm going to bring you up to my level. And when I see a relationship that I can obtain things by his grace and mercy, and I also can't attain by pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, it gives me a little hope and an assurance that he is mine and I am his, and he's not dangling everything over my head trying to get me to live right. I'm finishing with this. You can come to the keys.
I'm going to say this very carefully, but very pointedly. And if you have any questions, come talk to me later. Maybe it was just for me. I don't know. My relationship grew with the Lord the moment I quit fearing that He's kicking me out of His kingdom every time I fall. That makes sense? When I realized, Lord, I mean, Peter messed up pretty big. You're not trying to look for reasons to kick me out. And you're not trying to take advantage of when I do fall to get me kicked out, to try to get me where I need to be. You lovingly say, by mercy and grace, I'm going to speak to your faith to get you to where you need to be at with Him. And instead of going around fearing my position in the kingdom when I make a dumb decision, and instead of going around fearing my what all's going to befall me because of things I can't control my mouth sometimes. Now, He will discipline us. I'm not talking about that. The Word of God works in those four deals. We'll get that fair share. But that doesn't mean He's kicking you to the curb or looking for reasons to get rid of you. When I realized that, do you know what happened to me? I wanted to please Him even more. I wanted to live for Him even more. I wanted to give Him even more. I wanted Him to know even more. Thank you, Lord. I never went up to my wife and said, if you dangling a divorce over you, if you don't treat me right, you would never treat her right if that would happen. You would never treat him right if that would happen. If you don't do this for me, I'm out. Who would say that in a healthy relationship? He's not doing it to us either. He said, you know what? I've got grace for this level of faith, and I've got grace for this level of faith, and I've got grace for this level of faith, and I've got grace for this level of faith, and I got grace for this level. I do have a problem when you're satisfied with sitting here. I do have an issue with that. So I need you to come on up here, and I need you to move a little further. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 1 and 17, from faith to faith, to faith. And you may be there a year. You may be there 3 days. Just keep going. For faith, next year you're going to be right here in the Lord. Does that make sense? Why? Because it's built on a relationship of obtaining things that we don't deserve and attaining things that He's calling us to press towards. I want us to all stand all over the house. If nothing else, I want you to just have knowledge that He is so excited to see you on that great getting up morning. I have failed you so many times, Lord. But this issue of calling us into a position of where we need to be at, as you did Peter, and you didn't sit there. You addressed him, yes, Lord, pretty bluntly when you said, hey, I'll take care of John's situation. You don't worry about it. But I'm still calling you to what I said before. Just follow me, Peter. God, we're praying that right now in the name of Jesus. We, every one of us, we need to follow after you, even in a greater capacity, God. And sometimes in my mind, I don't even know how I can get to the next level or to the next step or to the anything, God. But I'm not going to worry about that. Peter, then after you came down to him, you're not looking for reasons to discard me from the church. You're looking for reasons to help me, to get me to where I need to be at. Come on, church. I want us to raise our hands and just thank the Lord, if nothing else. Thank you, Jesus. If you need a prayer, pray a prayer of faith, of commitment, or dedication of Lord, or even saying, Lord, I want my relationship with you to be right. I don't want it to be wrong. I don't want to know your word and not have a relationship like the Jews did. I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to sing songs and not have a relationship with you, that you're not moving upon me and speaking to me and changing me, Lord. I don't want to do that. I want to have a relationship relationship with you. Oh, Lamb of God, before there was an Acts 2:38, there was a restoration process in those disciples that the Lord did. God, in a right relationship, I pray that for us. I pray that for us as individuals. I pray for that us, for families. I pray that for us as a church. I pray that for us as a community, God, that my relationship with you would grow as a fire and intensity, faith to faith to faith. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And why don't we worship him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I love you, Lord. No matter where I'm at, I'm yours. Even when I make a mistake, you were, Peter was still yours when he was dumb and fishing in a boat, Lord. He was still your child. I'm still yours, God, even when I make mistakes, even when I fall short. You're calling us. You're calling us. You're calling us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray for anybody that in your life that may have been in a position where Peter found himself in. Not following after the Lord, had went back to a previous state of life. Somebody in your life and in your world, I want us to pray that God would strengthen them and let that person know that there is a loving Savior waiting on them at the shore that wants to restore them. So he can use them. God, right now in the name of Jesus, we have family members in our life. There's so many people in this community, oh God, that have walked away and returned into a place where they used to be at. But God, you are calling them, and I pray in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I have several in my mind, God, right now. Touch them. Strengthen them. They grew up, oh Lord, hearing your word, had followed after you but turned away, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would call them back home and give them, oh Lord, the strength that they need to make a crucial decision that you are waiting on them with loving arms to forgive them of their sins and wash them and cleanse them. Come on, church, we need to reach out in faith. We need to reach out in faith, determined my relationship's going to grow. If God, I've got to remove some things in my life and put some things aside, Lord, I want a relationship with you, a greater relationship with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would position ourselves in ways that you could just reach out and speak to us, God, that our ears would begin to hear spiritual things, Lord, even in greater measures. God, you speak to me certain ways, and you may speak to other people another way, God. But whatever that way is, I pray, Lord, that we don't have this life that we live and we never hear from you, where you're never, never hearing from you. Forgive us, God, when we hear from you and disobey. Oh, God, forgive us. God, sensitize our hearts. My heart needs to be sensitized. Sometimes I'm too hard, Lord. Bitterness gets a hold of me, oh God, sometimes. Forgive me. Cleanse me, Lord. Let me reach into you and allow you to restore my heart and restore my faith, God, into a place that you have called me into, not because I've done any good thing. I haven't. Because your grace. One more time, why don't we just lift our hands and thank him. Thank you, Lord. God, go with us this night. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, such a sweet presence of the Lord here. Thank you, Lord. You've got to leave. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're so good, God. I feel your presence.
Coming after me.
I feel your glory. Oh, I feel your strength, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Where it's right, why don't you reach out and grab somebody by the hand or lay hands on their shoulder, baby. Pray a prayer of strength for your brother, your sister. God, right now in the name of Jesus, let your glory rest upon us, oh Lord, upon my brother, upon my sister, my wife, my husband, God. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray those prayers of faith. Strengthen them, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name, God. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I exalt you, O God. You are calling us to a greater place in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Real quick, before we're dismissed, always know that the parable of the soil is always at work in a church service, that the seed goes forth, and there's four soils that it can land on. That's why you always want to make sure your heart is not hard or bitter or something that's in it, that it doesn't allow the seed to go into the fertile soil of the heart. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, before we leave this place, I know there's enemies that are just outside that door, the spirit of hell, that would rob this word. Pray, God, that this word would find the good soil of the heart of each of us and let it grow to greater things in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you love the Lord, take it out on somebody standing beside you. I know he won't mind.
So shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming out to me.